listen to Mark and Neanderthal when you get
pretty
to work.
Sure they're illegal.
With the free KSLX app. 100.7 KSLX.
You know what I did over the weekend?
No.
A first, an absolute first.
What is that?
I ate Spam. Have you ever eaten Spam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had never eaten it before.
Mark, I grew up Poe. Spam was a part of my diet.
All right.
Spam is...
Even the gelatin on top?
Well, no. No, you scrape that off. You open the can, you scrape it off.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. That stuff's like, it's like lutefisk. That's the stuff on the top of the Spam.
We went over to some friend's house on Saturday night, and it was us and another couple, and this guy, Tom, was like, hey, look what I got for you guys. And he has this little Spam cookbook, and we're kind of thumbing through, and he's like, and I said, what'd you get this for? And he goes, you guys have never had Spam before.
And I said, wait.
How'd you know that?
It's Spam is, so you, are you guys like one of their very beloved friends? Like, because they really broke out the big stuff, the heavy stuff for you.
Well, he goes,
the exotic menu.
He said, you've never eaten Spam. And I said, how'd you know that? And he goes, oh, you mentioned it once or twice before. It just came up in conversation. I remembered it.
Huh.
And so we're having a Spam appetizer tonight.
Why?
Like, are you serious? And he goes, yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah. Well, what he did was he cut it into little squares and then grilled it.
Well, that's what you do with Spam. I've never heard of anybody like...
You can fry it, right?
Well, that's what you do. You fry it. Well, frying and grilling are the same thing. They really are. It's also, okay, you grilled it so it has a little grid on it.
Yeah, it's less grease, too.
You just burn the outside is what you do.
Well, there's less grease when you grill it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure health concerns are really what you should be thinking about when you're eating Spam. I mean, Spam makes a hot dog like filet mignon. You know what I mean?
That's Spam's, true.
Yeah. Well, Spam is just, it's a cube of salt coagulated together by some pork meat product is what it is.
So what he did was he had little squares of Spam with melted cheese on top.
Yeah,
melted jalapeno cheese.
Yes, because you got to get your dairy.
Yeah, absolutely. With your protein there.
Right,
yeah.
Sure, right, exactly.
Protein, you got the cheese,
you got
the meat. So,
yeah.
So he brings these in from outside and he's got this plate.
Wow.
He sets the plate down. He arranges it very proudly. He's like, all right, here comes the Spam appetizer. He picks up the plate.
Did he announce it? And now,
yes.
Guests of honor.
Picks up the plate and he clips the top of the wine bottle on the counter.
Right. And then
full but open wine bottle.
Now, here's the thing. Given the choice of cuisine, I would have guessed that your liquid refreshment would have come in a box. That the wine that you had would have been a vintage Wednesday is what that would have been.
Yeah, and I don't drink wine. That was for everybody else.
Right, sure.
It falls off the counter, and it smashes on the kitchen was tile.
Right, sure. Right.
It smashes, and shards of glass and red wine go all over the place.
Blue nun everywhere.
it was a mess. So we're all cleaning up. But while we're cleaning up, I'm like, I better get it while it's hot, actually.
Really?
The Spam.
You're that guy?
Yeah.
While everybody was cleaning up, you decided to start chowing?
I was doing both. You know, I need nourishment while I'm cleaning up.
Right,
there.
Of course,
so
yes.
So I grabbed a few of those and tried them.
A few? How many's a few?
I had four or five of them.
Four or five of the Spam appetizer. How many were there?
What I can say about the taste
of
the
Spam? Were you like Milton in Office Space? Now, Mark, make sure everybody gets enough Spam.
Oh, there was plenty of them.
Oh, okay.
But my review of the taste, it was hot.
No! I don't want to hear that at all.
It was okay.
If you didn't like it, you would have had one, maybe two, to be polite.
No,
if you have four or five, Mark, I got bad news for you. You like Spam.
I don't like Spam.
What do you mean? I don't like Spam.
Spam, 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 Spam.
Mark and Neanderthal in the morning.
You know, it's a sad state of affairs when Scott Baio, one of the former stars of Happy Days, has become a controversial political figure.
Well,
in our country.
Remember, it's been a couple of years now. You know, he did that speech at the RNC, and that was
fairly
controversial because, you know, what does Chachi think is something that I always consider before I pull the lever in the voting booth.
The Chachi'sburg address, as we called it.
Yeah, what would Chachi do, I think, is what I think of.
So Scott Baio has kind of, you know, come back into the forefront of our consciousness in the last couple of years because of his political beliefs.
That and he spoke out very quickly when the death of Aaron Moran happened too.
Yeah,
he was very critical of Aaron Moran, who clearly had some mental problems.
Yeah,
yeah.
But this is where he had a lousy weekend because he's now been accused. He's one of the many who've been accused of sexual misconduct and so forth.
Wah wah wah.
Here's the accusation. You know, he was Chachi in Happy Days. We all know him from that.
Right. Yeah. That's really where we know him. Then he was also in that show Charles in Charge with Willie Ames.
That's the show. When he was doing that, there was another actress on that, a younger actress. She's like 10 years younger than he is. Her name was Nicole Eggert.
Oh, she was hot. She grew up to be hot. She was young on that show.
She has now accused him of fondling her and having sex with her when she was underage, and he was like, like, whoa, no, 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 no.
Wait a minute. How old was he?
He was a good 10 years older than her, I think.
And she was in her teens?
Early teens, like 14, ooh, 15. Ooh. That's what she said. See, that's the thing. It's very, you know.
Yeah, so, and here's the thing. I mean, I've lived in the South, and it is more than common there for somebody over the age of 21 to be dating somebody under the age of 21.
Roy Moore will tell you.
Right, yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, I lived in Memphis, and a kid that I knew that was in a local band was like 21, 22.
Right.
And he was dating like a 16, 17-year-old. That was a common thing in that area of the country. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's more common than you think, and it probably goes underreported a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. No, you can get a big label for the rest of your life for doing something like that.
Yeah, it's
nowadays.
A sex offender. Yeah. Statutory rape. Whether or not it's consensual, it's statutory means you don't have a choice in it.
Right.
It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's terrible.
So Scott Baio, to defend himself, took to Facebook Live this weekend, and this is legitimate. This is him on Facebook Live just starting his plea.
Hi. I'm here today to talk about some allegations that have been made against me by somebody named Nicole Eggert. The reason I'm doing Facebook Live is because nobody can edit me. Nobody can change what I said. And what I'm telling you is the truth.
I like the fact that he refers to as somebody named Nicole Eggert. He was on a show with her for like a decade.
Yeah, he knows her.
He knows exactly who she is.
One of the things he pointed out was that as recently as 2 years ago, she was saying, I would love to work with Scott Baio again in any kind of project. So it's kind of weird that she's now coming out and saying this. Again, I'm not saying it's not true, but I think Scott Baio, if he really wanted to gain sympathy and gain favor with everybody, should have done a statement like this.
Hi, I'm here today to talk about some allegations that have been made against me by somebody named Nicole Eggert.
Happy days.
The reason I'm doing Facebook Live is because nobody can edit me. Nobody can change what I said.
Really?
Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
I beg to differ.
My words and what I'm telling you is the truth.
Thursday, Friday, happy days.
So I'm going to knock down all these false claims against me. My reputation is being damaged, and I'm done.
The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you.
Just a thought.
No, I think that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that nobody can edit me. Are you sure?
Tickets go on sale Friday for that show in Phoenix. So we're talking about Elton John on his farewell tour. It's 100.7 KSLX. He played that song last night.
Yeah, at the Grammys. Yeah, the Grammys. He did, here you go. That's what it sounded like.
Blue jean baby, L.A. lady, seamstress for the band.
Now, he's 71 years old, and he looks like William Shatner right now, by the way. I don't know if you saw him. Now, did you notice who sang with him?
Yeah, it was Miley Cyrus. Now, I thought he sounded a little rough. His voice has obviously changed over the years. We just played something from, like, what, 1971, maybe?
Right, sure.
And now it's 2018. That's a long way down the line.
How about this?
Jesus free.
That's Miley Cyrus.
Her voice is almost deeper than his.
Right. Is it me or does Miley Cyrus try too hard all the time?
She does, yeah.
All right, cool. I just want to know.
She actually sounds good on some song. Like, you get the right song for her voice and it sounds okay. I didn't think last night was an example of that, but...
Nah, I just think she tries too hard. She's trying to be like Madonna or somebody that's like a world shaker, a world mover, trying to move the needle and stuff.
A tastemaker.
Yeah, you're Miley Cyrus. You're Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter. You had a modicum of success on the Disney Channel when you were Hannah Montana. She's done really well for herself.
She has.
She's nowhere near as talented as she tries to present herself as.
Or as Billy Ray Cyrus.
Right. sure.
So the song,
okay, I'll go with that.
The song of the year last night at the Grammys was a Bruno Mars song called That's What I Like. And, you know, you may not even know it. I didn't really know it when
I heard
it.
Yeah, but Bruno Mars is super talented. Like, that's the other side of it. Like, he's not Miley Cyrus. He's a guy that's got so much friggin' talent that it's all over the place.
The Grammys now have really turned into an R&B / hip-hop show. I mean, that was really all the winners last night. Because that's really what's happening now musically. And,
right.
You know.
No, I mean, for years it was a country show.
Yeah,
that's sort of what it does.
It's kind of weird. I mean,
it's never happened. It's not like 1975 or 76 rolled around and they were like, and now the nominees for Song of the Year, Stranglehold by Ted Nugent.
It's never been a rock show.
You know, Last Child by Aerosmith.
Right.
And Rock and Roll Band by Boston. That's never happened.
No, you're right. Led Zeppelin, the only Grammys Led Zeppelin's ever won were well after the band broke up. And they were kind of like honorary or lifetime achievement type Grammys.
Right. And the nominees are Exile. style on Main Street.
Yeah, you didn't. You know, the nominees are Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd.
No, it never happened.
They were still giving Grammys to like Henry Mancini in those days. Right.
Well, a great example last night. They did 2 minutes of a tribute to Fats Domino and Chuck Berry. 2 minutes with John Batiste and Gary Clark Jr. They did a 6 minute tribute to Andrew Lloyd Webber. What?
I know.
With Andrew. Two of the pioneers of rock and roll got about 2 minutes. Andrew Lloyd Webber got an opera singer nobody's ever heard of.
Oh, no, that was Patti LuPone. She's very famous.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. Okay, she's very famous. I don't know who she is.
She sang Don't Cry For Me, Argentina.
Right, a song that anybody under the age of 50 has no knowledge of.
But you're right. It's never been a rock show. I mean, even if you go back a ways, like 1983's Song of the Year. Always on My Mind by Willie Nelson.
Right.
1981, Sailing by Christopher Cross.
Oh, rocker if ever there were one.
Was the song of the year.
Sure, why not?
And who can forget this one from 1982, Kim Carnes.
Oh, boy.
This was the song of the year.
Song of the year.
Betty Davis Eyes.
Song of the year. Best song in 1982.
Yes.
What came out in 82?
Well, it beat out Endless Love by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross.
Right, sure.
And it beat out Just the Two of Us by Bill Withers and 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Yeah, meanwhile, Ozzy Osbourne's Diary of a Madman was released that year, I think. Yeah.
So you can see, for the nominees, there are nothing even resembling rock.
No.
In those nominees right there.
No. All right, Kim Carnes, Hot or Not?
No.
Really?
No.
She's pure as New York.
No.
She looks all right. She sings masculine, but she looks all right. She's not bad looking.
Yeah, she sang like she needed a Ricola. Needed a couple of them.
Kim Carnes should have fronted a band called Lozenge.
Mark and Neanderthals.
What should have happened there?
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt. A classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue, but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old. Soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters. Because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
We talked about rough weekend for Scott Baio. Yeah. You know, a rough start to the weekend for everybody's favorite fun rapper, Flava Flav.
Yeah, boy! Yeah, everybody loves Flava.
He got beat up at a casino.
All right, almost everybody loves Flava. Everybody but that guy loves Flava.
Yeah, they got into some kind of argument. I think it was in Atlantic City. It was at one of the casinos.
Right.
Some guy just walked to him, punched him right in the face. I mean, you know, this is Flava Flav.
Flava Flav, yeah, that's no good. Why would you? Who wants to punch Flava Flav?
Well, you might say that he got, the guy walked up, punched him right in the face. You might say...
Please don't say you got clocked.
Right, exactly.
Clocked right in the face.
Oh, no.
I ask you not to say that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Well,
the guy beat the crap out of him.
There's a little sliver of irony here because Flava Flav, obviously a member of the band Public Enemy, not a big band that we play here on KSLX for whatever reason.
No, and Flava Flav is the guy who's got the clock.
He's the guy with the big clock. Yeah. Everybody loves Flava Flav, but one of their biggest hits is a song called 911 is a joke.
Hit me!
Which is, that's exactly how it starts off, right? Hit me!
Well, I don't mind if I do!
And somebody did. They just walked right up to him and punched him in the face. And
that's ironic.
If there was only something Flavor Flav could have done to get himself out of this situation, you know what I mean? Some way he could call to try and get some help. Well, you think, maybe?
Now, I dialed 911 a long time ago. Don't you see how late they reacting? They only come when they come when they wanna. So get the motor truck and then bomb the corner.
What? I have no idea what he just said. I have no idea what Flav just said.
That's him singing that, huh?
Yeah. That's Flava Flav.
Yeah, we all
Golden tones.
We all know Flava Flav because he's on the reality shows and he has that giant clock hanging around.
Yeah, big
his
clock
neck.
In his head. Yeah. And the song starts off with the beautiful
Hit Me.
So that's him. There you go.
He should have used that clock as like a shield or something.
Well, yeah, he could be Captain Urban America. That's what he could be. With that shield, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Sorry. sorry.
Oh, man. Some guy intervened, actually, and broke the fight up. So he is Flavor Flav's savior save.
No, he's actually a Flavor Flav saver.
He's a Flavor saver.
He's a Flavor saver is what he is.
We got Mark and Neanderthal's fake facts coming up at 8:30.
Stop it right now.
Mark and Neanderthal.
It's time now for some Mark and Neanderthal fake facts.
Oh, these have been on the stove all weekend long, just simmering and letting the flavor sink in. We've got fake news in there. We've got alternative facts in there. And we come out with a delicious soup of fake facts.
Yep. In fact, all of our fake facts today are gluten-free.
Yeah.
Because it's a Monday. And, you know, if you're starting that, this is right around the time that most people lose their New Year's resolution diet things.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks into the year. So let's do this.
So Tony Carnevale is a big Mark and Neanderthal listener. And he sends in some fake facts every now and again.
Yeah.
Like this one. After being blinded with science.
Science!
Musician Thomas Dolby went on to invent Dolby Sound for movie theaters due to his heightened sense of hearing.
Because he was...
blind.
From what?
Science.
Of course, yes. Yeah. I understand. Mark and Neanderthal, fake fact, true or false quiz. You ready?
Okay.
The high five wasn't invented until 1977. True or false?
I am going to say true because that seems like kind of a modern thing.
It is a modern thing. It's one of those things that came to us in the 20th century. It was October 2nd, 1977, when the first high five was initiated by one Los Angeles Dodger, Dusty Baker, and his teammate, Glenn Burke. That's the first time anybody did a high five.
Very nice.
It seems like the high five has been a... You would have thought that would have been a thing that, like, Mickey Mantle had done back in the day. But no.
Yeah.
The high five was not a...
All right.
Yeah.
41 years old.
Who knew?
The high five.
Yeah. Who knew?
Well, actually, it's going to be 41, since that was October. It's probably the World Series.
Good chance, yeah.
At the Last Supper, Jesus got very upset because the waitress would not do separate checks.
Well, right. Yeah, that's a party of 12 or more.
So John was like, hey, Paul, order what you want. It's on the big guy.
Right, yeah, sure. Right. Dad, can I borrow your credit card? Be careful not to rub your eyes, Mark.
Okay.
It will cause blindness, but only if you do it in tiny increments over a prolonged period of time. So just be careful. You might want to think of a new morning routine for you right there.
Okay.
All right?
I think the morning routine I'm doing causes blindness. But anyway.
I caught it grow on the palm of your hand.
That's not important.
Not
now.
On the top of your head, but on the palm of your hand.
To heaven.
100.7 KSLX.
See, they never won a Grammy.
No, not...
I mean, they won Grammys, but not during their time. They've won, like, Lifetime Achievement stuff.
Yeah. Only after they broke up did they win for, you know, hey, best artist from this decade or something like that, you know. But we were talking about the Grammys, and we were just talking to some folks on the phone and say, you know, God, I didn't know any of the songs or anything like that. There was no rock bands or anything like that. And that's true. It's mostly an R&B and hip-hop thing now. But the Grammys have never been... Like a class, what is now classic rock, those bands were usually left out of the Grammys.
For instance, I mean, yeah, like in 1975, it wasn't like they were like, and the nomination goes to Thin Lizzy for Boys Are Back in Town. Like, that never happened.
Song of the Year in 1975 was The Way We Were by Barbra Streisand.
Right.
The next year, the Song of the Year was Send in the Clowns by Judy Collins.
Yeah, there's a lack of testosterone, I think, has always been the case sort of with the Grammys.
Now, Christine's on the phone, and she's going to help you. Now,
okay.
You're ready, right?
Well, I'm as ready can be. I mean, what year are you going to do?
1977.
Oh, Jesus, I was nine.
The Grammy for the Best Song of the Year, the Song of the Year, was I Write the Songs by Barry Manilow.
Okay, which ironically he didn't write.
Correct.
Okay.
So, we're going to quiz you guys on what the four runners-up were.
Nope.
The other songs in the category. We'll give you the artist.
It's a bad idea.
And you got to see if you can name the song, okay?
All right, I'm ready.
You're ready? Okay.
Yep.
Christine, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, guys. The artist was George Benson. What was the song?
I know this song.
I do, too.
What do you think, Christine?
Just Give Me the Night.
No, not that one.
Breezin'.
Nope, not that one either.
Oh.
The song was This Masquerade.
Oh, boy. All right. On the same album as Breezin', though.
All right, here's the next one.
Damn it.
The artist was Neil Sedaka.
Yes.
Neil Sedaka. What was the song?
I write the songs of love and spend.
I know so many Sedaka songs.
Do you really? Because I don't.
Was the one covered by Captain and Tennille. There was that one.
I write the song.
not Love Will Keep Us Together.
Correct.
Gave that.
That's not it.
Captain
yes.
Neil. It was, oh my gosh. Not Calendar. No, that's an old. It was, oh man. It's
all right.
Right on the tip of my tongue, and I have to give.
We'll have to go to the next one, Christine.
Okay, gotcha.
Here you go. The artist.
Okay.
The artist was Gordon Lightfoot. 1977.
If I could read your mind.
That is not right. Paul, did you have a guess?
I want to say it's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, but it's not. It's Sundown.
It's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh my
last chance, guys. Last chance. One of the other songs up for Song of the Year that year was by the Starland Vocal Band.
I know this one. This one I can't miss.
I got this.
All right,
what is it, Christine?
It's Afternoon Delight.
Yes. Yeah.
It actually won over Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. And I remember I was like 12 or 13 and I was appalled. I couldn't believe it.
That must have been for another award that night.
It was best song. Or best harmonies or best.
We'll check. Vocal
performance.
Well, hang on, Christine. Does that make sense that they would have beaten Queen? Is that the same year?
It could be. I mean, Starland Vocal Band, they actually won two Grammys. They won Best New Artist in 1977.
All right.
And they also won, this is what's screwed up about the Grammys. They were nominated for Record of the Year, Best Pop Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocals.
Right.
And then Best Arrangement for Voices, Duo, Group, or Chorus. What's the difference between, that's like Best Song Written on a Thursday in the hours of 9 and 9:05 a.m.
Right.
That's what that is.
Yep.
But they did win that Best Arrangement for Voices, so that could be what she was talking about if Queen were, I mean, let's face it, 1977, Queen and vocals were sort of synonymous with each other.
Well, you know, Paul, in the words of 1989 Song of the Year Award winner Bobby McFerrin, don't worry, be happy.
Good morning.
Listen to Mark and the Interpol when you get to work with the free KSLX app. 100.7 KSLX.